Happy Friday to you all. I hope you're getting ready for a very lovely weekend that includes time with your home congregation. Everybody needs to have a home church, and you need to stay plugged in there where you can worship and fellowship and study and praise and pray and serve together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We need that regular encouragement to love and good deeds. So if you don't have a home church, go out, find one, get plugged in, stay plugged in. If you need any assistance in that, ask. I'll be happy to try to help you to find a place. By the way, if you're actively looking right now and you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East building, come on over, check us out. Maybe we can be a place that you can call home. Fridays, I also like to say thank you to those of you keeping Into the Word on the radio. We could still use a few more people helping in that. It's easy enough to do. Just write down the contact information you hear at the end of today's program. Then you can send your one-time or ongoing gift of absolutely any amount to that address, and it'll be applied to the radio broadcast fees. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter number 12, and I am going to take us all the way back to the beginning of the chapter, but we'll be quick in our review. This is the passage that makes it clear that the exodus from Egypt is going to reset the way that the Israelis look at the calendar year. They are going to follow a spring calendar system when it comes to their usual daily life. Now, they'll still use the fall start calendar for agricultural purposes. But particularly for the religious life, they are going to use this spring start. And the way that they did their calendar is that each month began with the sighting of the first visible crescent of the new moon. And since that new moon would be setting shortly after the setting of the sun, it was pretty easy to establish when that would happen. And then they would have months that were usually 29 or 30 days in length. And then about once every 3 years, they'd need to add one extra month in to keep the lunar months in connection with the solar year. And we'll talk about a little bit of that later when we talk about the months of the year with their different feasts and festivals. But this is what it says in Exodus 12:1. Then he who has said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. So tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. And I shared with you my belief that Moses was given and delivered these instructions before the coming of the ninth plague of darkness, 3 days of darkness. I believe that the Israelis were told, designate this lamb today on this 10th day of the month, and you will be using it shortly, in about another 4 days. So this is all preparation for Passover. The lamb shall be without blemish, meaning there's nothing wrong with it, a male a year old, which means that it has not been used for breeding purposes. For our way of thinking of it, it's a virgin, effectively. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now, that's a practicality thing. Goats, I think, are a little less expensive of an animal than the sheep. So everybody should be able to afford a goat for their Passover. And we need to establish now that this becomes symbolic. This animal, the Passover lamb, becomes symbolic of Jesus. He will be the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He is the reason, his death is the reason that God can pass over judgment upon us. And so he has to be a male, he has to be a virgin, and he has to have no sin. That's no blemish, no problems in him. So Jesus is the fulfillment of these requirements. Verse number 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs between the evenings. I know the English Standard Text says at twilight, but the literal Hebrew is between the evenings, and I am convinced that means between sunset on the 14th and sunset that begins the 15th. So during this 24-hour period, that's when these sacrifices or these Passover lambs have to be butchered. Now, we know for a fact that Jesus arrived in Jerusalem on the 10th day of the first month. That's the day on which he entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and he is welcomed as the Passover lamb that's being set aside. Then he ends up dying on the afternoon of the 14th. Now, it's true, he and his apostles ate Passover meal after sunset the night before, because that's the beginning of the 14th, but Jesus effectively dies as the ultimate Passover lamb on the afternoon of the 14th, when a lot of other Jewish people, such as the Sanhedrin members, were having their lambs butchered so that they could have their Passover meal. So Jesus fulfills the symbolism of the Passover lamb. Verse number 7, you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. So that would be taking a bit of hyssop, which is a field plant, and you dip it into the bowl of blood that you've caught from slicing the animal's throat, and you slap it on one side, slap it on the other, slap it at the top, and of course it drips down, and it makes the shape of the cross symbolically, which I think is significant, but it also marks the places where Jesus bleeds from when he is on the cross. His two outstretched arms, his head where he wore the crown, and then down to his feet where he was pierced as well, and then kind of in the middle of that crossing, the side was pierced through. Verse number 8. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. So unleavened bread symbolizes kind of a bit of a purity, that there is nothing added into this bread other than the bread component itself. And the bitter herbs will be a reminder to the Jewish people at the very beginning of their time that they had a bitter life in Egypt that this lamb is now going to save them from. The unleavened bread is going to be a reminder that they had to leave quickly and couldn't wait for their bread to rise. But the bitter herbs can also be a reminder of the bitterness of sin that Jesus, the Lamb of God, brings us out of. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. So the Passover meal was a one-time thing. It was not to provide leftovers. And in a very similar way, Jesus' death was a one-time thing. It's not going to be needing to be repeated. And that's actually mentioned in other passages in the New Testament. In this manner, you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is he who is his Passover, his Pesach, which is Hebrew for passing over, which is what God said will happen when blood is seen on the door. He, or his destroying presence, will not enter into that house that's marked by the blood. Now, the Israelis on this very first Passover have to be dressed and packed and ready to go, because it won't be very long after they start eating the meal that they will be told, get out, leave, now. Pharaoh will want them out that night, and that's where they will be ready to go. And so that's descriptive here. It is interesting that later Jewish Passover meals were a little bit more leisurely, such as the meal that Jesus and his apostles had. They seemed to kind of linger longer than an hour at the table, taking care of business. But for this first Passover meal, it was probably a lot quicker. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am he who is." So this is the last big judgment plague. It fulfills what God told Moses to tell Pharaoh at the very beginning. If you don't let my firstborn Israel go, I will execute your firstborn. And I reminded you last time, don't immediately think of the firstborn as all little bitty babies. The majority of them are going to be adults. That's just the way it works in a population. And so all the firstborn not inside a blood-marked building will die. Now, I don't know how they die, just they suddenly die. And it's because of God's judgment. Verse number 13, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pasach over you, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day." So it's going to be a permanent holy day, which is where we get the word holiday. "It shall be a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to he who has throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." 7 days, so it's not just the day of Passover, which is actually the preparation day for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's going to be a whole 8 days from Passover day on the 14th through the 7 days of unleavened bread from the 15th through the 21st. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, that would be Passover day, the 14th, you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person will be cut off from Israel. So there's a pragmatic reason for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It seems as if the first 7 days of their travel, the Israelis were being pursued, either passively or eventually actively, by Egypt, by the Pharaoh. And so they do not have the leisure time at the camp to let their bread rise before they bake it. So they bake it unleavened. I believe that the destruction of Pharaoh's chariot force happens probably on the 21st. And that on the 22nd, Israel can now breathe a sigh of relief and not have to be so quick to move from encampment to command, from campment to campment, so they can let their bread rise from there on out. But the reminder to the Israelis is, every year when you remember the story of the Exodus, you will take those 7 days and not eat leavened bread as a reminder of what happened. And anyone that does not want to participate clearly is not committed to the covenant. And so they will be excused from Israel. If they don't want to participate in the covenant memorials, then apparently they don't want to be in Israel. And so you make them go away. You cut them off. Now that's the better possibility of what cut off means. If they still try to stick around and not live by the covenant, then your only choice is to execute. And so that's the ultimate cutting off from Israel. We'll talk about that phraseology again later. Verse 16, on the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, which usually means a day of non-work. And on the seventh day, a holy assembly, another day of non-work. So that's the 15th and the 21st every year in the first month of the Jewish year were non-work days. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. So they didn't go to work, but they were allowed to make food. That's a distinction on these special days from Sabbath days later, where we'll read that Sabbath days you weren't supposed to cook. But on these feast days, you were allowed to cook. Verse 17, you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. So on the 15th, in the middle of the night, that's when they start leaving Egypt. And that's going to be the reminder every year, the anniversary. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at the evening, so that's when the sun goes down and the 15th starts, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. That's when the sun goes down and the 22nd begins. So here's the practicality. The bread that is cooked for the Passover meal, which is going to be eaten this first time after sunset on the 15th, that bread is unleavened. And so all the bread from the 15th through the 21st will be unleavened. You shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a sojourner or a native of the land. So it doesn't matter whether he's a natural Israeli, natural-born Israeli, or a naturalized Israeli, that is, someone that's hanging around, a sojourner, someone that's not Israeli by birth, but is for some reason, you know, considering Israel to kind of be the place where they want to live. Everybody has to follow this rule about the unleavened bread. Verse 20, you shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling places. You shall eat unleavened bread. So that's the rule, hard and fast. Anybody that does not want to play, they may leave. And if they don't leave but still don't want to play, then more drastic actions are going to have to be taken because it's a disruption of the directives of the king. Israel is a theocracy. God makes the rules, and you have to follow the king's rules. Verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, now this is where I believe, and it's my opinion, and I offer it to you that as that. I believe that Moses was given all the instructions here back on the daylight hours of the 10th. Probably the morning hours of the 10th. And so he says, go, select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and then, on the 14th, kill the Passover lamb. So I believe he now gives them the instructions of, here's what you do with the lamb that you select on the 10th. This is what you do with it on the 14th. Verse 2, or 22. Take a bunch of hyssop, which is a plant. I've got some in my yard that my wife has grown, and it's always interesting. It kind of smells and tastes of licorice. It is an herb that gets used as a brush, a natural brush. So take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin. So that's the blood you've caught from killing the lamb by slicing its throat. Touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that's in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. So the rule is, once you go in and you mark it with the blood, you stay there until further notice. For he who is will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pasek, he will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer, which is the first time we've heard that mentioned, probably an angelic being, to enter your houses to strike you. So this is for the first Passover. It's very important. Stay in the blood-marked building. Don't go outside, or you will be open as a firstborn person to dying. Now comes the history marking. Verse 24, you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. So we're going to do it one time for the real reason, to be passed over. But it will become a permanent holiday as a reminder to us of what God did for us on this first big day of Passover. And then for our purposes as New Testament believers, we also know it became prophetic teaching material for what Jesus will do on this very day, Passover day, in the year of his atonement. Verse 25, when you come to the land that he who is will give you as he's promised, you shall keep this service. When your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? Now, the Jewish people, through time, really formalized this. And they had a child at the meal that had to ask very specific phrased questions. Why is this night unlike any other night? And why is this food like this on this particular night? And so it's very formalized in some of what's referred to as the seders, that the rabbis have put together. But basically, here at the very beginning, it was assumed that a child would ask, what's this all about, Mom? What's this all about, Dad? Verse 27, you shall say, it is the sacrifice of he who is his Pesach, his Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. So that's the instructions Moses gives from God to the Israelis. And so the people, the leadership, bowed their heads and they worshiped. And then the people of Israel went and they did so as he who is had commanded Moses and Aaron. And so they did. At midnight, so in the middle of the night, on the 15th, He who is struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne. And we know that Thutmose III was followed by a non-firstborn son. And so that matches. A son, by the way, a firstborn son that we know was of an adult age because he was given an appointment to take care of things. And then he disappears from the scene and his brother takes the throne in his place after his father's death. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon and then all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. So firstborn dead everywhere. A few of them are probably little bitty children, but the majority of them are probably adults. They just die. And there's great sadness and weeping and wailing. So Pharaoh, who was warned that this was coming, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron by night. Now, he doesn't summon them to talk to them, person to person, because we already established, he said, you guys won't be back here ever again. And they said, no, you're correct. We won't see you face to face ever again. So he basically summons a messenger to go and tell these guys, up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel. Go, serve he who is as you've said. Take your flocks, your herds, as you've said. Be gone. And then he says, and bless me also. Now we have heard something similar to that before, where he's agreed, you guys can go. And then he came back on it. This time, with no doubt the death of his own adult firstborn son, he is ready to let him go. And he wants them gone because they're nothing but a plague. And it'll take a few days before he changes his heart.